In Chopin's set of 24 short preludes, we find this amazing composition as number 20. It's only 13 bars long, with the tempo marking largo, slow but in a grandiose and majestic way. And just like with literature, where words can either be used as prose in novels to follow long narrative arcs or describe the details of the character's emotional depth, or they can be used very carefully, chosen very carefully in poetry, where there are no other words present than those necessary for the evocation. And the same applies to music, and this piece is a beautiful poem. It fits on half a page, but every note is absolutely essential for the expression. I'll start by playing it all through, and then we'll look at how it's constructed and what it means. Now let's start with the structure before we look at the harmony. So the smallest coherent unit here is one bar, and every bar has the same rhythm. It's this bum, 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 ba bum, like a slow march, which is why it has the nickname Funeral March by Hans von Bülow, who titled all the prelude. That's not Chopin's title, but sometimes you see it as Funeral March. But the thing is that every bar has the same rhythm, so every bar, it's like it rhymes with every other bar. So you hear this rhythmic ostinato in the back of the head, really predictable. That's the form of the music, like the meter or the foot in poetry terms. Just playing softly to show the meter. Yeah, you get it. Now, if we look at the big picture, it's clearly divided into like three sections. They're separated with long phrase lines and also the change in the powerful dynamic contrast. So it's a forte, the first four bars, and then it's piano with a long phrase line, and then it's pianissimo. So the third section is a repeat of the second, exactly the same material, but it's an important difference in dynamic. Now we can also divide these sections into groups of two bars each, and this is where it gets really interesting, because the first part of the first section, the first two bars, it comes back as the second part of the second section. It's like the same material but slightly altered, and it's really cool effect. So if we look at the melody in the beginning, this is a bit sped up. This is also a sequence, by the way. The second bar is the same melody contour as the first, but a bit lower down. Now, if we look at bar 7 and 8, in the second section, it sounds like this. So it's just the first note, because it comes from a different position. The melody starts from the up, but you actually have the same G in the middle voice as in the beginning, exactly, and then. But of course the harmony is different, and this is what makes it so powerful. Like if there's a theme that comes back in a poem, but it's in a new context, so it has a different meaning. With the harmony, we're in C minor the first time, and now the second bar. It's basically modulating to A flat major, doing the same sequence, a cadence, 1-4-5-1. And when it comes back, it's the same C minor. And now it starts the same way on A flat major, but here it goes back to C minor instead, so emphasizing the tragic element. And also, just the position within the larger structure, I feel it more now when I play it faster, but it should be slower and more majestic, but still the feeling is there, because now this pair is an answering pair to the first two bars in the second section. Anyway, one more time. It's also piano. Ritenuto, slowing down. Okay, now if we look at the harmony a bit closer, we already started to do that, but there are some details here. So first of all, it's the texture is a chorale, so heavy bass in the left hand and really braiding together as counterpoint, like Bach chorale, but the Chopin chorale. Super nice F minor 7 chord. Then the G dominant is with an extra spicy E flat, which is the sharp 5. It's a suspension back to C minor. Then the A flat major. Again, the dominant here, E flat. It's the C is with E flat, which is the 13th. So another like jazzy cadence resolving. And now for the second part of the first section, it points somewhere new. We get all these accidentals. So it's like a chain of secondary dominants. G7 pointing to C, C7 pointing to F minor. And with the G on top, it's the 9, the add 9. Super nice tension note. And then resolving to C minor. And I've seen some other analysis say this is modulating to F minor, but I don't feel it as strongly. I feel it more in C minor, like harking back to the initial tonic. But of course, with great music, the point is the ambiguity of it sometimes. Anyway, we continue the line here. This is going to G major, which is the dominant. Like this is very close to C minor. You can say it's ending on a half cadence in G, or it's modulating to G because it's very clearly the dominant to G, the dominant of the dominant in C minor, the D7 to G, and with a 13 again, D13 to G. Because it's a dominant, it goes seamlessly into the next part. The resolution comes when we get C minor. It feels like this is the home key again. Okay, so the big contrast in dynamic. So these two bars that comes are the most dense. We're gonna start to take it apart directly. The bass has this chromatic descent, like a lament song. Every half note until here and then down to E flat. And on top of this, the melody is quite still. The top note. And then melodic. And the rhythm is in the middle voice. And the middle voices form these amazing chromatic chords. That's like a counterpoint carrying suspensions forward. Just amazing. Start by raising the C minor to an A flat in first inversion. Diminished. Flirting with a G minor. A dominant minor. But like when you start to get this chromatic descent going, it feels like every chord is more transitory. So it's not a big point of saying exactly what it is. This is like a French augmented sixth chord on the way to G. So here we get the G for two chords basically, because this is a G7. So it's establishing the G, and then we have this amazing French chord before. So the A flat 7 with a flat 5. And here is where it's tied back together with the second part of the second section, which is the same harmony as the first two bars. But it doesn't really feel it because it's slightly altered with inversion. So here we get C minor first inversion, F minor, not F minor 7, and again G, the dominant first inversion. So it's a bit disguised that it's the same. A little bit more unsure with the inversions. And especially here, we kind of recognize this move to A flat major, and then we've already covered. It's a G dominant 7 sharp 5. It's same chord as in the first bar, but in a different position here, pointing back to C minor. And now, when we get the third section, it's a repeat of the second section, but it's pianissimo, and this is an important detail in the dynamic. So it's obvious option to have the second pedal here, the una corda, I think makes sense. Because, so, first the piano is a big contrast to the fortissimo. It feels like really soft because you have it, the loud ringing in there. And then you get used to that dynamic for these four bars. So now you have another area that opens up in the dynamic range because our ears have adjusted. So now the piano doesn't feel that soft. We're used to that as a default dynamic, and then you go one level below and make it really quietly, and you get this nice feeling of like introspection. Just think about the situation and recognize the material, and you're there for like two bars, three bars here in the third section now. Like, just let the chords come calmly. And somewhere around here, because we've been this looking inward and like contemplating the situation, but in the end it's going to be a reality check. Like, the outside world is going to catch up, and we kind of realize through the music that it was never anything else than what it always was, and it was always going to end up in C minor to like fulfill the tragedy that you sense in the first bar. So, from pianissimo. Start to grow every chord louder to the final bar. So the final bar is not the same rhythm, it's just like the dot, a long chord. Basically, I think you should reach fortissimo. That's the powerful expression. It's kind of hard because you don't have many chords, but every chord needs to like push a little further. Maybe you can start a little bit earlier than when it's indicated. And that's Chopin's Prelude in C minor. Thanks for watching Sonata Secrets. The Patreon shoutout goes to M. Hafner and E. Hernandez.